Welcome one and all to the Snap UK Super Bowl podcast, where we get to react to possibly one of the most disappointing yet greatest games we've ever seen. Firstly, though, Marty Schottenheimer, big news. The sad passing complications from dementia, I believe, of 77-year-old former NFL coach for four different teams, the Cleveland Browns, Kansas City Chiefs, and two
Chargers football team.
And the Washington Redskins. Do you know, there has been a lot of things said in the last few hours about Marty Schottenheimer. The thing you need to know the most is he only had two losing records in 20 seasons. And he took teams like the Chiefs, who hadn't been to the playoffs for 17 years. He turned their franchises around and went 6 years out of seven when he went there. He was a great coach who is sometimes overlooked because he never made it to a Super Bowl. He's the only head coach with 200 wins never to make the Super Bowl. He lost
the rivers of coaches.
If you like. Yeah, he lost three championship games to not get to the Super Bowl. But, you know, he will be remembered as one of the great coaches. And it's further proof, if it be needed, that championships don't make everything.
I think you only have to look at his coaching tree as well to kind of see the type of coach and type of teacher that he was. So I just pulled out a couple of names from his coaching tree. Some of them good, one of them particularly bad. But all these coaches now are Super Bowl winners. So, you know, Mike McCarthy, Tony Dungy, Bill Cowher, and Bruce Arians. Obviously, Arians winning, spoiler alert, on Sunday. And also Hugh Jackson. So you can't win them all. But yeah, I mean that legacy kind of just shows like he was a heck of a coach, a heck of a teacher, and you know he's done a lot for the NFL in terms of develop young coaches.
Yeah, no, it's I guess you know Marty Ball will probably hang around him for a while. You know, I guess he's sort of like the NFL equivalent of a Sam Allardyce or something. So
you win. That's all that matters.
It is, but you know, it's. I don't think you know. Remembering the playoff losses is what should be done right now. Let's remember the fact that you know. Yeah, he played. He managed some winning football teams. In the regular season.
While we're addressing sad news, Chris Wessling from the Around the NFL. Team, the podcast and the website and things. He also passed away just before the Super Bowl at the weekend. He was 46 and he'd been battling with cancer. I think this was his second time round. And I said to Jim and John has echoed this before we started tonight as well. I listened to their podcast religiously and it was one of the hardest listens I've ever had, brought home by the fact that I can't tell you how long I've been listening to that and now that person has gone. And you may laugh, but it was one of the things I listened to that made me want to do a podcast. So it just made me think of the following. I thought I'd get it down and then we can move on. So 4 years, five presenters, multiple venues, including one fantastic doghouse, two names, 406 million calories, three dogs, 120 plus shows, nearly 400 hours recorded, storms, snow, ice, hail, and I can honestly say it's been a pleasure to do this with the four of you, and may have been the only thing that's kept me sane in the last few months. That sanity can be debated elsewhere, but I would hate to think that one of us would disappear so quickly without having said what a pleasure it's been. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Griff. I think we all appreciate that. And yeah, we do this for fun. Like none of us get paid for it. We've all got a passion for the NFL, American football. But yeah, it's great sharing this time with you, especially the last year. It's been crap across the world. And this has been kind of one of the few kind of rays of light I've had for the week. Just to touch on the point around kind of Chris Wessling as well, like go and read some of his long form articles. They're absolutely brilliant. He was an incredible historian of the game, I think as has been said. You know, we occasionally have the odd quiz here and there. And I have no doubt that if we ever had the opportunity to include Chris Wessling in one of our quizzes, he'd absolutely romp home. A good few years back, he actually published a reading list of all the things he's read and you know, important long form articles If anyone wants it, hit me up on Twitter and I'll send it across. But it's almost like a guide as to here is the history of the NFL.
Right, that's the sad part out of the way, with all the respect that is due. Now, we have a big, big game to discuss. Who wants to get off and running with the absolute destruction of the Chiefs from the Super Bowl?
Well, I think I'm going to go first. Like, what? Well, I described it as being more disappointing than Christmas. Like, COVID Christmas. Like literally, yeah. I reckon Super Bowl is my second favourite day of the year, Super Bowl Sunday. And it was just depressing. It was such a bad game. The performance was literally so bad. The halftime show was awful.
Can we get agreement on that now, that the halftime show was terrible? I'm just not mentioning it again.
Did not like it. I think it might be an age thing on our front, though.
I've heard
lots of people say it was great, and I was just like,
he couldn't fucking sing. It was just some people in some masks. We've seen that all fucking year.
They say there's science that at the age of 34 upwards, people stop listening to new music and stop respecting it. I turned 34 last month.
I don't listen to anything past 2005. 2005, that's 21. Like, that's it. That's the cutoff. Everything since then has been shit.
We'd have been happy with Depeche Mode or something. It'd have been all right. But I don't know who that fella was.
Yeah.
My favourite thing was you have a crowd of 25,000 people, and the most notable bit is when he goes inside and plays in a hall of mirrors, so none of the crowd can see him. Well done, man. Well done, mate.
Awesome.
I think it was the lack of contest for me, you know, that was the big issue. You know, like, yeah, personally, I'm a bit bored of the Brady story. He's a great player. He's done great things in the postseason throughout his career, but you know, I think the NFL needs to move into a new dynasty, and for me it was disappointing that there was less of a challenge, because there was no challenge from the Chiefs at all. The Bucs defense was simply too good, and the Bucs offense did not make anywhere near enough mistakes to make that game at all close. The fact that one of the referees has named her son Brady has got nothing to do with it. But you know, other people on Twitter disagree with me.
Well, it turns out she's a massive fan of Brady Quinn, the Browns quarterback from a few years back. I think the thing that absolutely resonated with me with this more than anything, we've made such a point this season more than ever around the need to have high-quality O-line. And it shows the difference that you take away to very important parts of Kansas' O-line, and they're not... The Bucs pressured the hell out of Mahomes. So... Yeah,
I'm gonna say the O line is important, but if Mahomes is gonna stretch the play, get the space, get throw it, make the catches, you know, they've dropped two passes in the end zone, hit the receiver's head because he didn't close his hands quick enough, and.
So and one of them he was horizontal for.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I think those are two separate issues, if I'm honest.
The only person coming out of this Chiefs defeat with any sort of kudos is Mahomes. He could not have done any more.
Kelce as well. Kelce played well, didn't he?
He did all right, but he missed. He had a big drop. He had a big drop on a third down.
I think overall, you know, for the only target that Mahomes decided to go to, He had an okay game.
I think there's multiple problems there. The O-line issue, once we saw that two of the starters were definitely not going to be there, you knew it was going to be an issue. You know, the Bucs only blitzed five times. They were getting all that pressure with their four men up front. And he was pressured on, was it 32 or 33% of the plays?
No, 29 out of. I got the stat here. He was the most pressured quarterback in any Super Bowl. 52% of his dropbacks he was pressured on. And Todd Bowles usually has a blitz rate throughout the regular season about 39%. He only blitzed 9.6% of the time on
Did
Sunday.
Did you see why? Because ironically,
Jason Pierre-Paul had a big hand in it.
Just one.
Well,
the reason for the lack of blitz appeared to be that the first time they tried it, Mahomes actually completed a pass of some notable distance. And so they really backed off from the blitz because they didn't need to do it.
So I'm going to completely agree with Gary. I thought it was a great game. And I go against the grain because I've seen a lot on Facebook about, oh, it was a boring game, one-sided. Yeah, well, the scoreline was one-sided. Absolutely no doubt about that. The fact that we all know what the Chiefs could do against any team, because you know they've gone into several games, lots of big games, losing in a losing position, and they've come back and scored like 20 points in 2 minutes. They did it in the Super Bowl last year. They came back from 10 points down. They did it against the Texans. They did it against the Titans. They did it against the Bills. They don't do it against shitty teams, but they've got the ability. So I was always on edge thinking, all right, this time we're going to do it. This time we're going to do it. And I got, like, Tom Brady was the MVP because Tom Brady's Tom Brady. He wasn't the most valuable player. Like, any one of those defenders was absolutely... Like, the game plan Todd Bowles put together was amazing, and it was executed flawlessly. Like I said on last week, the cornerbacks in the backfield division are going to be really important. Tyreek Hill had nothing. He got 70-odd yards, and most of that was in the garbage time. It absolutely shut him up. They played that at too high safety in zone coverage. They played that 87% of the time. It's huge. Like you don't, they learned from week 12. They absolutely shut down the receivers, and they got to Mahomes with four rushes. They only rushed more than four rushes five times in the whole game. Like it was, I can't. That defensive display goes up there with the Bears of 85, the Seahawks, the Baltimore Ravens from 2000. It was absolutely amazing, and that's what I enjoyed. Now you can say, okay, yeah, there wasn't a big score, wasn't this, wasn't that, but watching that game, it was fascinating. I found it really interesting.
That was good play, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't a contest.
Like, I still thought it was.
You were in the minority, man. Like
Jim, I really enjoyed it, and I thought until the fourth quarter, I thought the Chiefs would come back.
Exactly. You just got that knowledge. You know the Chiefs can do it, and the fact that they couldn't, and the fact that they didn't adjust a game plan. Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire had like an average of seven yards per carry. They didn't rush him at all. They didn't use him, and they could have done it. And they came out after this. We didn't want to give up the deep play. We didn't care about Mahomes like rushing for 8, 9, 10 yards. He ended up with 33 yards on the day. We just needed to stop the deep pass. We took that away. And, you know, Andy Reid's an amazing play caller, but he should have adapted. Like, you can see what's happening. And then one more stat, which has been sent out, is that Mahomes scrambled for 497 yards behind the scrimmage line. That's incredible. Like, and it's down to that defense, though. And like I said, Tom Brady won it for the MVP. But you know, for me, Devin White was absolutely incredible.
Devin White was great. Well, I'm going to agree with Gary. I thought it was a hopeless game. I think it's the worst Super Bowl since the two Broncos Super Bowls, where
you're saying the Rams Pats Super Bowl was better than that.
I enjoyed the Rams Pats for the same reason.
It was tense.
Defense. Yeah.
Neither team looked like they could win, which is better than looking like one team can't lose. I'd rather that.
I think it was pretty sad, wasn't it? Just watching, Mahomes not be fully fit, not have an offensive line. They didn't seem to have the chart. They didn't seem to have a plan to adapt to the fact that Bucks might have adapted since week 12. So I think, I went into it really hoping the game was going to be, I didn't need it to be 45-42. Like if it had been 21-15 or something, that had been fine. But there was literally, it was just not what you want in a Super Bowl. Yeah. Because both teams didn't turn up. You know, if both teams turned up and a better team won, that's fine, isn't it? But if one team massively underperforms, it's just not enjoyable to watch.
And I don't know if the fact that it was a home Super Bowl in a COVID year does have a massive help, because the Chiefs not being able to travel till Saturday, the Chiefs had a pretty bad week the week before because they had the COVID. The two COVID people out. Andy Reid's son was involved in a horrible in a drink driving accident, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And which you know, isn't, you know, probably, they're not massive incidents and whatever else, but they're all just sort of things that can distract peak performance. And I don't know if it probably is just the cards just fell right for Tampa Bay this year, that it happened, and on the day they executed their plan perfectly. And you know, they didn't do much. Like, the defense isn't what they did isn't particularly much different from what the Bills did 2 weeks before. They just did it better and with more explosiveness. I just thought it was a sad way to end the year in a way, because
when you're like 15 points down against the Bucks, and you know Brady is going to, you know, control the game and control the clock, control the ball at that point. I think, you know, Mahomes was having to throw it deep. You know, we see it all the time, don't we? Teams that go away from the run game when they're two scores behind or more. That happens all the time because clock management becomes a massive part of the game, and that makes the game more one-dimensional. And, you know, you cannot take anything away from the Bucks on offense or defense, because the offense did everything it needed to do. It kept the ball on the field a lot early, massive time in possession in the first half. And then, you know, it trusted its defense to do whatever it needed to do when it needed to do it. And you can't fault the offense. Gronk had its, I think the Bucks had the best game they have had all season.
Yeah.
You know, Gronk delivered, you know, everyone delivered.
Fournette, immense.
Exactly. And they peaked at the right time. So you've got to say kudos to them. I do always find it interesting how, you know, and I'm sure lots of people will discuss this, that during the playoffs, you know, you can literally like grab someone around by the throat and it's not a penalty. And literally in the Super Bowl, the rules change, because we saw it, didn't we? All in the playoffs. And like, I'm not saying it's a Brady thing or anything, but, you know, certainly they were tighter with the officiating than they've been in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
There were definitely some dubious calls. I think there was one given against Mike Evans where it's like, hang on, he threw himself to the floor in a more dramatic fashion than Gareth Bale usually.
It was a trip, wasn't it? But it was an unintentional, like, you know.
It was unintentional, and I don't know.
Yeah, like, you don't want to see calls.
Yeah, it's one of those things we discuss with soccer. Yes, he made contact, but did he really make enough contact with the guys?
I think it was the reaction of the Chiefs. I think they lost their heads to it.
Yeah.
And then Brady,
they did,
being the ultimate professional, just kept playing on it. What he did was he adapted to what he saw the refs and how they were reffing the game, and the Chiefs didn't do that. The Chiefs were like, we've been allowed to do this for the last 4 weeks, and he just kept, you know, his experience and his professionalism, he just kept going and going and going. So you can't take anything away from what they did. It was just fucking annoying.
If Camford showed up in Patriots uniforms, you would not have questioned that it was the Patriots. It looked exactly like every Patriots Super Bowl performance you've ever seen.
It was better than the Patriots.
It was better than anything we've done, but the blueprint was the same. He's brought that over. He's turned the Bucks from the second most penalised team into the third least penalised team in the league. And the Chiefs had the most penalty yards in the Super Bowl by half time?
Yeah, it was 11. I think they had 10 in the first half. Yeah.
Crazy.
And what was the stat? If you get one penalty on defensive set, the offence has got a 30% chance of scoring. If you get two, it goes up to 70%.
Really? Wow.
So they're just basically just giving away points, because if you, and their punting was awful. So if you're starting at the 40-yard line, that
he shanked like two.
So
if you start on the 40-yard line, you give away 10 yards in penalties. You've only got to make 15 yards to get a kick, haven't you?
We should mention though that in the opening drives, the Bucks had to settle for a field goal, and then they didn't score from the 1 yard line. The Chiefs' defense did hold up from the 1 yard line, and at that point I thought, well, the Chiefs are going to get this, because you can't leave all those points on the field.
That Honey Badger interception that was overturned,
that
was
massive.
A massive, massive point.
Huge. Yeah.
The momentum shift never came, and the Bucks could just keep with their game plan.
But also,
that was mental.
Andy Reid calling timeouts before half time and allowing Tampa enough time to score again Andy Reid's been exalted the last couple of years, but let's not forget he had a massive clock issue for years before that, and it came back to haunt him. He got it wrong, and that's fine. Like, lots of things went wrong, but you know, I will say this is the first time I've really enjoyed watching Brady in a Super Bowl. I never enjoyed it before, and I thought it was, I really enjoyed it. I just thought it was masterful. It was just like watching the GOAT at work, and I wasn't invested in it in anything other than that, and I enjoyed it.
I joined as well there. One other stat, Jason Pierre-Paul is 8-0 in the postseason.
Yeah, that's incredible. Impressive.
Yeah.
More wins than fingers.
Yes, he does.
Nice. That's very good. Yeah, well done. You win comment of the week. Yeah, I mean, hasn't Gronk now got the most medals for a non-quarterback as well?
Probably.
Yeah, potentially. Just Jerry Rice got three, didn't he? So,
yeah.
Well, surely some of the Steelers have got, some of the Steeler players have got.
It's four. A phenomenal number to have four. Yeah. Brilliant. Brady's now got more medals than any single franchise.
Yeah. It's, you can't, I mean, I agree with Gary. It's annoying that Brady keeps winning, and it'd be lovely to see a few other quarterbacks kind of get in there and win, but you can't deny the brilliance of him. And you can't deny what he's done. And what he's kind of sacrificed to have like a career that long as well. Like you think about what it takes to kind of stay fit. Like, he's older than me. There's absolutely no way I could go out and play anything like that.
I think the thing is, the thing that grates, you know, is that the way the NFL is set up is that there's supposed to be parity and the availability to have parity within the smallest period of time. Yeah. And like, I don't want to see Mahomes win seven Super Bowls. I don't want to see the Chiefs win seven. It's not just about Brady.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the fact that it's supposed to be level. And I suppose what I find frustrating is, you know, that they, for, you know, I can understand why players do it, but they almost create like fantasy football. You know, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brake, you know, Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, you know, who was the other running back they signed?
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy. You know, I get it. Everyone wants to go and play with Brady and play in a home Super Bowl. I get it. But it does make a mockery of the idea that there's a salary cap that exists to make the league have parity.
Yeah, there's not been a team.
It's not like the NBA. It's not as bad as that, where the five best players all play for the same team.
Yeah, and there's not been a two-time winning Super Bowl or a repeat Super Bowl since, what, the Pats' second one, right?
03-04.
03-04, yeah.
Interesting that. Did you see,
they did win six in like 10 years, though, or whatever.
Yeah, but did you see the last two quarterbacks who could have got, or the last two teams that could have won it back-to-back were the Seahawks, and they were stopped by Brady.
Yeah.
And...
now the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, who were stopped by Brady.
Well, Russell Wilson, first season, got to the championship game, or got lost in the playoffs. Second season, won the Super Bowl. Third season, lost to Brady in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
And hasn't been back since.
Mahomes is exactly the same.
Mahomes is the same. Do you think, because Mahomes is being ordained as this all-time world-leading quarterback, there's just as much chance he ends up like Rodgers and Favre with just one Super Bowl.
Yep.
Because of the way the league is structured, Brady will always be the outlier. People don't win that many. Like Montana, 4 out of 4, amazing. Brady, 7 out of 10, amazing. They are the outliers. There really isn't anyone else. Bradshaw in the 70s.
I was going to say Terry Bradshaw, yeah.
But yeah. Brett Favre lost his second. He had a chance at two in a row, didn't he? And lost to a veteran.
Did he go to three in the end? He lost two, yeah. And I think there's every chance Mahomes maybe only wins one more. Because I don't think anyone overtakes this now. I think 7 out of 10 Super Bowls you'll never see. You just, or we won't anyway. You won't see that. But
and he's I think won like six since down. He's 37 or something, or five since he's 37.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were saying. I mean, there was a great stat released by ESPN that between Brady's third and tenth Super Bowl, Megatron was drafted, had a stellar career, retired, and got into the Hall of Fame.
it is incredible. Look, we should talk about one or two other standout or not players from the day. Tyreek Hill, nothing, very nothing.
He ended up with, I think, 7 receptions for 72 yards. But I think about 60 of those yards came in garbage time, like in the fourth quarter, when they did start actually vaguely making connection. I think at one point, like, Mahomes was like 1.1 yards per attempt. I think that was in the third quarter. And he ended up with 5.2 yards, which isn't much better. But yeah, so Tyreek Hill was completely nullified, realistically.
If you're not rushing players, though, you can double cover Tyreek.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's what I mean. Andy Reid didn't respond. Like,
yeah,
like there should have been an adaptation to his game plan, because there was to Todd Bowles. He responded, but yeah, Andy Reid, I think, in your or players or coaches who had a bad day, he's definitely up there.
I was just reading something on my phone. I nearly went and got a gun. For American viewers, you'll be able to empathise with me. I just read something that said J.J. Watt might end up at the Bucks.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
He wouldn't, I mean,
probably a year too late, but...
Well, we'll cover that later.
yeah. I can see where that's coming in. I think, I thought that Chris Godwin was quiet, 2 receptions, 9 yards. I mean, ultimately, it made no difference, but don't forget, he's competing for a contract, and I thought he had a very quiet game for a man who, at best, is probably going to get franchise tagged, and at worst, is going to have to go and seek employment elsewhere. Disappointing.
I don't think Mike Evans did all that much either.
None of the wide receivers
had one reception, 31 yards.
Yeah,
Brown got a touchdown, but they didn't need them.
No, Brady never got out of second gear. Was where I was going with this. I think he had 200 yards, but he didn't need to do anything. It was his cleanest game of the year. Somebody mentioned Todd Bowles probably should have been the MVP. Oh,
should have been MVP.
Is he? He and Bieniemy, are they two people that should be head coaches? Bowles has had his opportunity and it didn't really work. Will it come again? And what's happened to the Eric Bieniemy train for head coaching? It never happened.
I think too many teams are scared of Bieniemy, and that all the offense is on Andy Reid and not him. And that, it might, maybe it's a valid point, maybe it's not. I don't know. But that, there's always that kind of tinge. And I think with Todd Bowles, people will remember the Jets. I don't think he was that bad at the Jets. Right. And just remember, the Jets fired him and hired Adam Gase. You know, that kind of sums up the decision making from that organization. I think, I mean, there's a big, like, if you read a lot of the media, that there's a lot of kind of conjecture about, you know, whether hiring cycles should be postponed until after the Super Bowl to give, like, good kind of coordinators the chance to interview properly. I kind of see the point. Like, is okay. Yes, if you're not in the playoffs, you do start kind of rebuilding from January onwards. But you can still be kind of speaking to guys or speaking to agents and sussing out the marketplace. You know, it seems a waste that like coordinators like Bowles and Byron Leftwich and now Bieniemy, they've got another year as a coordinator. Bieniemy, by the way, is out of contract. Well, both sides didn't negotiate a contract because they were so sure he'd be a head coach going into next year.
He'll be back.
I'm sure he will be, but yeah, that just sums it up. It's just...
I'll jump in there because you're about to go through a very good point. Obviously, Bieniemy at the Chiefs, but Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles, and there's one other. The three main coordinators on the Bucks are all of... and I will always get the phrase wrong, but I will say black or minority coaching positions, and he's also got 2 female coaches on the staff. And this is a very diverse, and then you've got Arian himself, who's the oldest coach ever to win the Super Bowl. Like, this isn't Sean McVay and the Young Guns. This is how many colours of the rainbow and the right people can I bring in, regardless of anything else. It's just right people in the right job. There is no room for discrimination. And when I read that and saw that, I just thought that was quite an important thing to bring up in a sport that sometimes is maligned a little bit for its lack of inclusiveness. And that shouldn't stop, because there is a great big amount of power in the hands of white people in a sport predominantly played by people of colour. But this team seems to have the mix right, and it worked.
It's a neglected part of being a head coach that often, surrounding yourself with the right people is a huge part of being a head coach. And actually, like, you know, results and everything is what it comes down to. But yeah, you know, there's a reason why Doug Pederson, you know, got to a Super Bowl. It's because he had the right people at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look what happened when that fell apart.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you. It's a massive part. We mentioned it earlier, and we're talking about Marty Schottenheimer and the assistant coaches he's had, and the coaching tree that now exists because of him. Mm. It's huge. Like you have to have quality surrounding. It's too big a job for one man to do. Like you have to make sure that those people in charge of offense and defense, special teams as well, that can't be neglected, and then all the assistants that go under them, they've got to be the right people. And that's a massive part of the head coach's role.
I can't remember who it is. There's a philosopher, I think, who said if you're running a business, which effectively this is, and you're in charge, always make sure you're the most stupid person in the room.
Yeah.
Everybody else should be able to do their jobs without your supervision.
Yeah.
Quick question.
It's the same in like Fergie for years.
Yeah.
For Alex Ferguson never took training. He hired the right people to do that. Yeah. He was the guy that shouted them on match day.
Same with Clive Woodward, the England rugby team manager. He had the right coaches in place, so he organised it. He'll say he's not a great coach, he's a good manager. And that's part of the role, right?
That's it. Yeah,
absolutely. Of course it is. Quick question. The Bucks have joined which other team as the only two teams to be 2-0 in their Super Bowl appearances? No other team has won multiple Super Bowls without a Super Bowl loss, except the Bucks and...
You guys
will have watched them win probably both of these games.
Oh, Ravens.
The Ravens.
Oh, of course, yeah.
The only other team. That's quite a feat. I mean, you didn't realise how many teams struggle when they get back there. It's quite a number. And just because we're on the Brady wagon a little bit, Brady has 34 career playoff wins. Anyone want to tell me who's second and how many they've got?
Montana?
Yes.
17.
16. Very good. Mm-hmm. Brady has twice as many as anyone else because he's played for twice as long. But it is phenomenal.
They have more games now.
What you're saying is Brady's going to the Hall of Fame because of longevity.
Yeah. That's pretty much where I'm at.
We mentioned it after the game. Like, why bubble wait in the 5 years?
Just put him in.
He's in now. Just let him.
When he does retire, there's not a lot of chance of him making a comeback because of his age, right? So, like, let's just chuck him in.
The only player to win it with the AFC and the NFC.
Fuck him, make him wait.
I agree with you. I wanted to make him wait, but I wanted him to retire after that game because then Rivers goes in the same class as him, potentially.
I mean, if they've got a sense of humour, they should, you know. Yeah, but yeah. You know,
if Peyton had to wait, he has to wait, doesn't he?
That I agree with. Peyton's much better.
I'm sure they will make him wait. But yeah.
It is just a... Yeah.
He's also, because it's just come up here, he's the first quarterback in NFL history to defeat three former Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks in a single season. He beat Breeze, Rodgers and Mahomes. That's phenomenal. Like, I know he doesn't beat them. I know he doesn't go out.
Do you go on some like I Love Brady website?
Literally stats from the Super Bowl and his stuff's come up. The next one is about Jason Pierre-Paul, fourth player in NFL history to win a Super Bowl with and against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
LeGarrette Blount is one. I don't know. I can't think who the others would be. There's an O lineman, I think. But anyway, that's...
Yeah.
It's just impressive. He's only played 20 seasons. He's played in half the Super Bowls that he's been
eligible. Only played in 20 seasons.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he's played in half the Super Bowls he could have got. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I barely get to work on half the days I'm supposed to.
John, before Gary kind of like...
Well, no, I'm just going to say, he's played in 10 Super Bowls. He's won 7. If you replaced him with someone... shitter in most of those games, they'd still have won.
I agree. This might have been his second best Super Bowl performance.
This is the same. This is probably his second best Super Bowl performance.
Yeah. Only the Falcons was better, I think.
DeShone Kizer would have won this game.
No, let's not say things we're going to regret. Let's not say things that aren't true. Let's say things that aren't patently untrue.
Yeah, I mean...
Honestly, you're telling me DeShone Kizer couldn't have found Gronk from 8 yards.
Yeah, I'd be willing to back that he would cock that up, but I know what you're saying. Brady and he wasn't the reason they won, but it was still his second best Super Bowl performance for me.
They had Jameis Winston last year, and a lot. Okay, yes, you've got Gronk there this year, but a lot of the other parts are the same.
Yes.
You had Evans. Well, you had Bray. Yeah. You had OJ Howard, who, you know, okay, not as good as Gronk, but still a decent tight end. Gronk, you had Godwin. Brown,
Fournette. Big players for the Super Bowl, and Brady all came in for this season. And it made a difference. It wasn't just him. It was a lot of pieces.
It was a lot. It was, you know, the best offensive player for me this weekend was Gronk, who wasn't there last year, and Fournette, who wasn't there last year.
Yeah.
And it's a huge difference as well between regular season and playoff football. I'm just saying, it was his second best Super Bowl performance. And actually, if he weren't there, I don't think much would have changed. So it's great. But yeah, you know, I don't want to read another article about whether he's the greatest athlete of all time, because he's not even the best athlete in the Bucks. He's just the most winningest. Yeah. So yeah, let's move on. Let's move on.
Do you want to quit? And the answer to this will be no, but we will anyway. Anybody want to tell me what interesting kicker fact came out from the Super Bowl?
Other than the Chiefs.
It was the first Super Bowl with 2 50-plus yard field goals.
Oh.
That's never happened in the Super Bowl before. And Butler is the first player to score twice from 49 yards or more in the Super Bowl. It's just never happened.
That just sums up quite how shit the Chiefs were. Because
that's exactly where I was going with that.
Six of their 3 points came from 50 yards away.
Yeah,
not shit. Bucks good defense.
Yeah, but I get that. But so Jim's idea that there was any chance of them turning it round after half time was just fucking la-la.
But no, you think, I mean, look, loads of playoff games, the Chiefs have come back and they've looked down and out. Like, they've completely looked out of it. You know, I point to the Texans last year where they were, 20-odd points down? Everyone's like, no, this is it. 24 points down. They came back.
At no point did I start to believe this time. No point.
Gary, that's because you're the biggest pessimistic person I think I've ever met.
Oh, fairly on now. I am on this podcast. You know, this is Mahomes' first double-digit defeat since 2016 when Texas Tech lost to Iowa. That's insane. I mean, that's
the second
insane.
Time he's been kept out of the red zone in, 56 games?
Yeah, that's absolutely nuts. The Bucks were perfect, and that's all you can say. Looking forward to next year, though, when they're back.
I can't wait for them to get more amazing players at league minimum. It's going to be great. And what made the highlight of this entire Super Bowl season for me has been watching Gary's expression get sadder and angrier over the last half an hour while it's been described.
What else are we talking about?
Come on, what do you want to roll into?
Should we talk about the Hall of Fame and the league MVP was announced? So, as we mentioned in passing, Peyton has got into the Hall of Fame, which must have been a decision that took all of
2.3 seconds.
Yeah. Joined as well by Megatron, who I was reading on Twitter people were having an issue with for some reason. Because
I think there's an issue about him going first time, and there's been lots of wide receivers, very, very good wide receivers not going in first time. Like Terrell Owens is like the one that sticks out to me. I got no problem with. I don't think anyone's got a problem with Calvin Johnson being in the Hall of Fame. He was a dominant wide receiver in his time. Great stats, just amazing. But yeah, I think wide receivers seem to get in at the drop of the hat unless you're kind of Terrell Owens.
But there's a big difference here as to why T.O. didn't get in compared to Megatron.
Yeah, personality.
T.O.'s an arsehole. Yeah.
Yes.
My issue as well is the stats. I think because Calvin Johnson doesn't have like Larry Fitzgerald style stats, I think that's probably why some people are going, "Oh, can't believe he's a first."
But this is
the Hall of Fame should be who's great.
Yeah, Calvin
Johnson
about how long.
Was great, and that's what should matter.
I said to Jim, he retired at the peak of his powers. He could have had another 3 to 5 years of being awesome. And that recency bias is there. People are like, remember him? He was amazing. He didn't have a bad season. So he gets in. If you want to get in the Hall of Fame, that's the way to do it.
And that's great. I'd rather see that than like Marshawn Lynch rejoining the Raiders and then rejoining the Seahawks to fill in. You know, it does. Yeah. You sort of forget that actually these were brilliant players, and you don't want to see that downturn.
11,000 yards in eight seasons is a Hall of Fame career.
He's a stunning player. And I'm glad he's got in first time. And should we mention, MVP is Aaron Rodgers, to the surprise of precisely nobody.
I think we moved off the hall pretty quickly there.
Let's carry on with us. Sorry, we should mention who else went into the hall. So,
I've got the list in front of me. Alan Fenneca, who was a guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Jets and the Arizona Cardinals. 13 seasons, 206 games. He missed one. At guard. That's absolutely incredible. He obviously won the Super Bowl with the Steelers. Tom Flores, head coach for the Raiders, Super Bowl winning head coach. Regular season record of 97-87. Huge, but a great postseason record of 8-3.
He wasn't the first minority head coach.
That's right. Yeah, he was Latino, wasn't he?
Yes. He was also a notable absence for years, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was
to the point where they made an advert out of it for one of the beer companies, didn't they?
Speaking of notable absences for years, John Lynch finally made it into the Hall of Fame. 15 seasons, 224 games. Won the Super Bowl with the Bucks. He was in the Bucks Ring of Honor, is also in the Broncos Ring of Honor as well. Peyton Manning, of course. Drew Pearson, most notable as the wide receiver who caught the first ever Hail Mary from Starbuck. Charles Woodson, cornerback safety, won the Super Bowl with the Packers, but probably best known for his time with the Oakland Raiders. Also, the last defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy in college. I think he's the only player to win the Heisman Trophy, the defensive MVP, and the Super Bowl. And now go into the Hall of Fame. And lastly,
there's only four players, isn't there, or something in total that have won the Heisman, the Super Bowl, and got into the Hall of Fame. It's like four or five players ever.
Yeah, it's ridiculously low. I bet none of those are defensive players either. And lastly, Bill Nunn as well. So probably someone who not many people have heard of, but absolutely instrumental in scouting for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and spent a lot of time kind of raising awareness for kind of historically black colleges. So he drafted players like John Stallworth, Mel Blunt, Donnie Schell, and also Jack Lambert as well. So absolutely kind of stellar career in terms of kind of scouting, and finally goes into Hall of Fame as a contributor. So that's the Hall of Fame.
Cool.
Aaron Rodgers is MVP. No one can have a problem with that, right?
No,
there's no argument. He just
I don't have a problem with it.
Go on. It's an opinions based podcast.
Don't sound that happy about it.
He's great. But offensive player of the year is Derrick Henry.
Obviously.
I'd just like to see a non-quarterback win it, especially after a 2,000-yard season.
They should really just have a quarterback of the season award then an offensive player and a defensive player of the season award. That's how it should work.
Yeah. Yeah. Defensive player of the year is Aaron Donald.
Don't agree with that one.
Oh, no. Don't get me on stats.
I'm sorry, I'm going to get you on stats.
TJ Watt's got more stats.
He's got a better rush.
Yeah. He had a great season. I'm not denying Aaron Donald didn't have a great season, but TJ Watt had a better one.
Yeah, the stats are better, but like TJ Watt is never triple covered. Aaron Donald gets triple covered.
TJ Watt gets to the. Did he get to the playoffs? He did, didn't he? But then he lost.
Yeah,
he lost.
Then he lost. Yeah. Sir Alex Smith, comeback player of the year.
To no one's surprise.
One bloke's surprise.
Yeah,
exactly. Was it one guy who didn't vote for?
Yeah, voted for Roethlisberger.
offensive rookie of the year.
You can't say no to Roethlisberger. We know that.
Well, you can say no, he just won't listen.
Yeah. Justin Herbert, offensive rookie of the year. Chase Young, defensive rookie of the year. So Justin Herbert wins rookie of the year, apparently. I didn't realize.
Obviously, because he's offensive.
Yeah. And Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year.
I think that's fair. To turn that franchise around like that was a phenomenal. To get into the playoffs as well and to win. It's just like, let's not forget that. They had a brilliant season. It's always lost once you get to
I think the only coach that ran him close was Sean McDermott, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have said so. I mean, I don't think you can dismiss what Matt LaFleur's done in two seasons. He's only lost like three games or something, but you can't fault Stefanski having done that. Is just blown away because you get to the Super Bowl and it becomes irrelevant. But it is amazing where they've got.
I think it's kind of harsh on LaFleur, you're right, but he's taken like a winning football team and carried on winning.
Yeah.
Whereas like Stefanski took the Browns, who had like, been the joke of the NFL for the last 20 years, and got them into the playoffs suddenly.
Yeah, come. Yeah, normally we do our own, but seems that MVP seems to be
difficult to disagree with. Disagree most of them. I still think TJ Watt, but yeah, personal opinion. Offensive rookie of the year. I mean, it's always going to be Justin Herbert, and he did break records as a rookie quarterback. I thought Justin Jefferson had a great season as well. Defensive rookie of the year. I mean, yeah, Chase Young had a great season, so I'm not going to argue that. But you know, notable mentions for Antoine Winfield and Jeremy Chinn as well, who I think have been excellent.
And I'll just say for what has become an annual tradition, the participation trophy this year, I'm giving to Dwayne Haskins.
He barely participated.
Yep. So yeah, well done on him. You know,
I always think it should be a most improved player as well. You know, you were shit last season, and you're all right this season.
You were less shit this year. Well done.
The Eric Ebron Award.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's how the participation trophy started. But yeah, unfortunately, he got good. So it's just now called it's now going to be called the Dwayne Haskins Participation Trophy.
New sponsor.
Exactly. So now, Jim, it's time for you.
Stay or go. Yeah.
I'm off.
You're off, yeah.
So fairly options.
It's got to that time of the season now where the end of the season, the NFL year. Oh, he really is off. Where obviously kind of lots of rumors kind of heat up, and we start talking about all the free agents in play. But there seems to be a good few people who aren't free agents but are being talked about. I'm not going to talk about Deshaun Watson because we've spoken about him for the last few weeks, but there are, like we mentioned earlier, players who are with teams under contract who are widely believed to be on the go. So this section is like, we'll go through free agents. We'll also go through those who have got contracts but could be traded. As quick fire as this podcast ever is, whether they stay or go. You ready?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, we're going to start with free agents. Dak Prescott.
Stay.
Stay.
He should ring Jerry for all the money he's worth.
Although the Cowboys have just dropped a hype video without Dak in it.
Have they really?
So, yeah.
So here we go. This is how the rumors start. Shit like that happens. Go on. Do you have a point, John?
No, I'm just saying.
No, he has no point. Don't ask him that. No, look, it may be protracted and it'll probably be very boring, but ultimately he's going to get paid. Unless they can trade for Deshaun Watson. Otherwise, he's getting paid.
I reckon it's just a straight swap. Wentz for Dak Prescott. Von Miller. Star edge rusher.
I think...
Go.
I think go. Yeah, I think go. Yeah.
End of his career, isn't it? They just move where the money is.
I think he's 31 now.
Just move where the money is.
I hear Tampa's very nice this time of year for league minimum.
can I lump JJ Watt in with that one as well for the same reason?
We can put JJ Watt. So apparently he wants out of Houston after
what?
Everyone else.
Yes, I can't believe that someone would want to leave Houston this summer. I thought he'd stay just because, but it just seems such a toxic atmosphere. At the Texans, I would be surprised if he. I don't know where he'd go. I don't know where
they don't pay him, do they? Either
no. So why shouldn't he chase one last payday?
So the Bucks it is. Although I've seen the Titans linked with him as well, which would be a big punch in the face of Texans. Anyway, where are we? Matt Judon, edge rusher for the Baltimore Ravens, on the franchise tag this year.
He just wanted to get an edge rusher in, didn't he? He can help himself. I think he'll stay. More. I think they need him. I think he'll stay.
I think he'll stay.
I agree.
All right. So I'm going to go with another edge rusher for the Baltimore Ravens.
Sorry, what position is that?
Edge rusher for the Baltimore Ravens. Yannick Ngakoue.
Oh, defensive end. Yannick Ngakoue.
He'll go. Yeah, defensive end, Yannick Ngakoue. He'll go. Yeah.
He'll go.
He hasn't done enough to earn the big money he thinks he's worth.
Sticking with defence, Leonard Williams.
Stay.
I hope he stays.
Stay.
I think he may go. But
don't ask two Giants for that, Jesus.
You must take him.
Yeah, I think he's a very Dave Gettleman type player. I reckon they'd be willing to pay him.
I hope they do.
Molly.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of defensive players, so let's go on the offensive side for a little while. Alan Robinson.
Go.
Wide receiver for the Bears.
Go. Don't know where, but he's one final payday for him.
It's got to be somewhere better than the Bears.
Yeah.
So anywhere.
I agree. anywhere else.
Anywhere, then. Carl Juszczyk, fullback for the 49ers.
Oh, you're not staying. Oh, sure.
He'll stay.
I reckon he'll stay.
Important part of the offense.
Yeah, so, I reckon he'll take less money to stay as well. He seems to love it there. Shaquille Barrett.
That's a tough one because the Bucks haven't. They've got some room to wiggle, but they've got a lot of people to pay.
They do have a lot of people. There's a few other Bucks on this list as well.
I really hope they keep him because I think he is a brilliant fit for that team. But it might be a struggle. It might be a struggle is what I think.
Franchise tag maybe, something like that.
For a second year in a row for an edge rusher, though.
That'd be
jumps a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, just jump you up. Know, second year in a row for a made-up position. But as a defensive end, as an outside linebacker, but yeah, he's
Jim. Do you know Jim's got live forum boards going as we speak?
Yeah, and when we come back next year, it's going to say James Edge Rusher Green.
That's fine. If you guys just don't know the league as well as anyone else, that's all right. It's fine.
I go off Madden and I go off the individual team's roster pages. they're the things that you'd be told.
Paul, when you play Madden, do you know what a 3-4 and a 4-3 defense is and what the importance of an edge rusher versus a defensive end it might be?
I win Super Bowls, mate. I don't know.
You cheat. All right, back to my favourite position of edge rusher, Bud Dupree for the Steelers.
Yeah, I think stay.
I don't know. They've got other players to pay. Like,
yeah. I think Roethlisberger said he'll stay for a lot less money, though, hasn't he? So that will help their cap a lot.
Yeah.
I think he might stay because I don't think he'll get, because after that injury, he might not get the money he probably deserves from free agency.
Yeah.
I reckon he could be a franchise tag.
Possibly. He was a hell of a player this year until his injury.
Great. Yeah, the great season. Speaking of franchise tags, Patriots, Joe Tooney. Guard. What do you reckon, Griff?
Really hope he stays. I absolutely think we can't afford to lose any key pieces. So I'm going to say stay because we've got the cap room to pay him.
I think stay as well.
I'm going to go.
Just to be controversial.
I'm going with stay. Whoever you get a quarterback, you need to keep them upright.
Yeah. There'll be some shit-ass team that will be willing to throw money at him to sign him. As a Patriots.
Well, like they did for Nate Solder.
Like they did for Nate Solder, like they did for Brown, who I think is free agent as well. Some former Belichick disciple will pick him up for way too much money.
All right. Everyone's favourite quarterback, Andy Dalton.
Stay.
Yeah.
I think him and Dak are both coming back for the Cowboys.
He hasn't got a starting berth anywhere. So I don't know where he's going.
There's no point moving if you're not going to start, is there?
Strange. Yeah, I think he stays because I don't think, unless you're going to start, why move to become a backup somewhere else?
True. And no one's favourite quarterback, Mitch Trubisky.
Mr. Biscay himself.
He's already been confirmed and he is the starter in
I think he has.
Oh, I think Trubisky's going nowhere. They're pairing, aren't they? The coach and him.
I think he's off. I think he's out of there. They're going to see what they can get for him. They're just going to hold on, see who needs him. It's not going to work him there anymore. He knows that he's not really the future. It's just another year. So what confidence can that inspire? So he needs out of there. I think he'll be a better player somewhere else.
I don't think they can afford to replace him. They haven't got much, have they?
Wow. They could draft someone.
Where are they going to pick? Like 15th or something?
No, they're in the 20s.
That's what I mean. I don't think they are. I think Trubisky's there another year.
They got Nick Foles.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm just saying, that's the man they signed to start.
Yeah, they're 6 million over at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think they can do much about it. I think Trubisky's there. Foles might not be, but I think Trubisky will be.
So let's talk about one of the quarterbacks that could replace Trubisky if he does go.
Send Foles off back to the Eagles to mentor Jalen Hurts.
Where does Carson Wentz go?
To the Colts.
Does he stay or go?
He's going to the Colts.
I don't know why.
I have no idea why.
What happens if the Bears come in with a better offer? Like it's not
they can't afford to.
You can make it work. Yes, the cap's important, but creative cap management is what most teams do, what the Saints have done this year.
Well, your question is whether he stays or goes. He's definitely not starting for the Eagles next
year. I think he's gone from the Eagles, definitely.
Yeah, he's gone. I think it'll probably be the Colts. But if he'll go where the... Well, the first thing that's going to happen is wherever he joins, they're going to have to renegotiate that contract because it is stupid.
And I'm only going to worry about him if he's on the Colts because I don't think he's going to be as good anywhere else that hasn't got Frank Reich. He's never proved that he can be that good without him.
John DiFilippo is the quarterback's coach in Chicago. Mm. And he was also the quarterback's coach when Carson Wentz had his best year.
Okay.
Carson Wentz was a contender for the participation award, as was Doug Pedersen as a coach. But
I don't think you can give Doug Pedersen for participation after the shit he threw on the last game.
Exactly. Wentz needs to move.
Player who is largely rumored to be off and has been in the same team his whole career and had a great career, Patrick Peterson, cornerback.
There was rumours about him not being there this season, wasn't there?
Yeah.
He's definitely going, isn't he? I thought.
I think he wants to go. I don't know who would want to sign him. He's just not that effective anymore.
He's past it, isn't he?
I think so. And have you put Richard Sherman in that category? Because alongside Patrick Peterson, Sherman said today he wants to play 2 more years, but there's no guarantee the Niners re-sign him.
Well, he said he's off.
Yeah, I don't think the Niners will re-sign him. I think the biggest difference between the two is that Richard Sherman's the more intelligent player. He's not as good physically, but his... I mean, do you remember like Teddy Sheringham? People used to say like the first 10 yards is in his head. Richard Sherman's exactly the same. Like he will get beaten by Tyreek Hill, but like he's a great defensive mind.
There's an aura with Sherman, isn't there?
Mm.
You don't have with Patrick Peterson.
Yeah. All right, staying on old... defensive backs, Jason McCourty.
Stays.
I think he'll stay. I think they'll keep him around. I think if they can keep the defense together and draft the offense, I think that's the Patriots' quickest way to get him back into contention. Because the defense is good.
Yeah, and it should get better next year with the returnees after the COVID absence.
Yeah, the 46 people who had the year off.
Yeah. 49er, Trent Williams, tackle. They gave up for him last year. Third round pick, I think.
Yeah.
They gave up for him.
Yeah, we need to try and keep him.
I think you'll try and re-sign him. Yeah,
he was great.
He was injured at times, but
yeah.
Seems
to be good overtures between like what he's saying around like he does want to stay and what the team is saying. So yeah, I think he'll stay.
Best left tackle according to PFF this year.
Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney.
It seems a bit of a spent force.
He was injured.
He'll chase a paycheck somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
he wanted a lot of money last year. No one wanted to pay him, did they? Yeah, the money's not going down and down and down.
I think he'll go, but I'm not sure where. I think he's going to end up paying for less than he wants to.
Somewhere like the Jags or somewhere.
Yeah, someone will take a chance on him though. But yeah, it won't be Tennessee.
The game tape is no longer good enough to justify what he wants to be paid.
The game tape doesn't exist in 2020. All right, let's run through a couple of Super Bowl winners. Gronkowski.
He's already said he's coming back.
Yeah. Where's Tom? He'll follow.
Yeah.
Like a bad smell.
They'll both be back there, yeah.
Well, Tom's got another season, I think. Leonard Fournette.
That one's a tricky one.
I think they'll keep him if they can afford to work out a way of affording it.
That's it. If they can afford him. But
Ronald Jones is cheap, isn't he? Because he's still on his rookie deal.
One more year.
Interesting to see who comes in for Fournette, because people were very down on him, and rightly so. And he hasn't been brilliant during the season. He's just been brilliant during the playoffs.
I give Bruce Arians a lot of credit, because they couldn't handle him in Jacksonville. And Bruce Arians, like, you think of the egos that must be in that Bucs dressing room, like between like him, Brady, Gronkowski, Evans, Godwin, Brown, all the defensive players. Like, fair play to Bruce Arians for keeping that team together, and that there being no kind of, I want to see more of the football.
I think they saved it. It was planned. I think it was planned all year. Let's go with the younger guy, with the fitter guy. Let's work on his fitness. You know, he didn't play that much towards his end of his time at Jacksonville.
Mm.
And I literally think they planned for him to become a bigger part of that offense.
Yeah.
After the bye week. I think they did a lot of work in that bye week, and then Fournette became a big part.
Yeah,
I think he stays. He's too big a part now. He's their best running back.
Yeah. Lavonte David, linebacker.
I think he's part of the furniture there. I think they'll find a way of making that work.
I think that's one they'll definitely make work. But I think the partnership between him and Devin White was just amazing through the whole season. And Chris Godwin.
I think he might be the odd man out.
I think he goes.
Test free agency.
You know, you look at Alan Robinson's definitely going from the Bears. Chris Godwin would be a great signing at the Bears to replace Robinson.
God, poor guy.
Nine.
There's a lot of talk about him at where was it?
Giants.
Giants, but as well. But I don't think
Eagles
have the player we need. But of course, he'd be great for the Eagles. But yeah,
I think he'll be the odd man out there.
I think he'll get paid because he's great.
Oh, he'll definitely get paid. No doubt about that. Justin Simmons, really good safety for the Broncos.
Their next season depends on keeping Justin Simmons.
Yeah, I agree with John. I think he has to stay, because it looks really like they're going to keep Drew Lock, which means their offense is going to be turd again.
Nelson Aguilar.
Stay.
He'll stay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he had a great year.
Where is he? The Raiders now.
Yeah, Raiders.
So if he doesn't stay, he's going to go to the Eagles, isn't he? That's about it.
That's where he came from. Yeah, I know. I think he stays at the Raiders.
Got a lot of wide receivers.
It'd be more interesting to see who's throwing the ball for the Raiders. But
it's Gary Carr. They've come out and said.
If it's not the Raiders, he'll end up somewhere like the Bears, replacing Alan Robinson, just being overthrown by whatever shit quarterback they've got there. So he should stay at the Raiders.
So connected then to Griff's comment, Marcus Mariota.
I think he goes. They've already signed Peterman again. I think they're going to trade Mariota. And I'll take him at the Patriots. If that's the noise that I'm seeing on my little Patriots page. I'll take that.
Anyone at the Patriots.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't want Jimmy G.
I'm sure there's a podcast we can get out of those. How many? 400 hours. There's plenty of hours in there where you were having a proper loving on Mariota at the start of his career. So you should be more than happy with that if you trade for a fourth round pick.
I'm owning it. I'll take that. I think in the right system, he can still be very effective. He played really well when he came in at the Raiders this year. Could be the next Tannehill. I'll take that.
Could be. So someone connected to Mariota by way of the draft, Jameis Winston.
Well, what Breeze is doing, he's restructured his contract this week, hasn't he? So that he basically gets paid the league minimum if he retires.
That's nice of him.
So I think he's retiring, and I think they'll keep Jameis and Taysom Hill, and I think they'll let them battle it out. Because I don't know what else you can do at the Saints. They haven't got a lot of money. They've got a lot of people to pay. And I think they've got to stick with what they know.
Saying that what they know is shit. But, yeah.
They could do with another actual quarterback to put into that mix, rather than one quarterback and one like Joker type player.
Yeah.
You never know. They could trade up in the draft and try and pick one of the rookie quarterbacks. But they
I saw Sean Payton on I think it was Good Morning Football, and he was saying that they were one spot. They were going to take Mahomes in that draft. I think they drafted. They were drafting 12, and they were going to take Mahomes. And then the Chiefs traded up, and they knew exactly who they were going to take. So they took Marshawn Lattimore instead. So they didn't they didn't feel too bad about it, but they were going to take Mahomes in that draft.
Connected to that, I saw an interview with John Lynch where he said they only went to Patrick Mahomes' pro day to throw everyone off. What a fuck up. Anyway, Chief here, Sammy Watkins. He's gone, personally.
He'll be off.
Yeah. And another Chief who is a big fan trying to kill people, Daniel Sorensen.
I think they'll try and keep him. He's one of their best players.
Yeah, I think so. A couple of wide receivers now. Will Fuller, gone.
He's gone, yeah. And wherever he is next season, he's missing the first couple of games, isn't he?
Yeah, he will do. T.Y. Hilton.
He'll stay.
I can't see him leaving either.
No, I think he'll stay, yeah.
Part of the furniture.
Yeah.
Stealing my lines. But yes, I think he'll stay.
Hunter Henry.
That's a trickier one. I think they want him to stay, but I think other teams might be willing to pay for him. I think there's not going to be that many tight ends on the move, and so the good ones come with a premium and they might get paid. So he might against what they want.
There is an amazing tight end in the draft, Kyle Pitts, who's more like a wide receiver than a tight end, to be fair. So, and they'd probably be just about the right range for him as well. Alex Mack, center for Atlanta, 36 years old. I didn't realize he's that old.
I'm not sure that the line is where they're going to start all their rebuilds, in which case they'll want to keep him around, I think. But that team is one of the more interesting ones, what they're going to do. Seeing a lot now about them drafting a young quarterback and trying to get him in by the end of the season in a Pat Mahomes at the Chiefs style. So I think Mack will stay.
I can see them drafting a quarterback as well. It seems to be the popular opinion. Let's stick with the Atlanta Falcons and go with a player who we all love, Todd Gurley.
Go.
Sure.
Go on. Yeah. I think he'll stay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's a Georgia man, isn't he?
Paying for him next year? Or?
No, his contract's up.
Oh, well, what are they going to have to pay him? $3 million?
Not even that, surely. He can't command that much money.
He's done okay when he got on the field this year. I bet he gets 2 or 3 million. But I think they'll keep him.
He needs to convert his game to a LeGarrette Blount and be happy with that. Be happy with that goal line sort of role. All right, last few now who aren't out of contract, but there's been lots of rumours about them. Sam Darnold.
Go on.
Yeah, I think go, but I think the problem the Jets are going to have is everyone knows they want to move on, and that makes him less valuable. Again, I would take him at the Patriots, but there is no way that on this earth they will let that happen. So he will go.
Zach Ertz.
Gone.
I think he's pretty much out the door already. Yeah. And Teddy Bridgewater.
I think he might be there with a newbie. Depends.
I don't know. I think he's very, from what I gather, very upset to find he's not their first choice for next season. I think he was promised 2 or 3 years as the quarterback there during the rebuild. And I thought he was okay, but he didn't deliver guaranteed starter performances, did he?
No.
So I think if they draft someone, I don't think he's going to think he's at the status in his career where he can afford to coach his replacement. I think he'll want to go.
Yeah, picking at 8, I could legitimately see 4 quarterbacks going in the top, definitely in the top 10 this year in the draft. And I'm not sure if 8 would be high enough to get one of those 4.
I think that'll
trade up.
It's not like he's surrounded by like Julio and Calvin Ridley. He's got Bobby Anderson.
Bobby Anderson had a great year.
Five games. Yeah, it's really harsh on him, but what is he now, 28? And he's missed 2 years plus of his career. I don't think he's going to want to be coaching his own replacement. Just think that'd be enough to inspire you to move on.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him end up like T-Mobile, which just...
I'll tell you what, sometimes we feel sorry for these players, but I looked at like Josh Rosen, obviously having signed again for the Niners, and I think that it'd be interesting to see how he's developed, you know, in our, you know, in being part of the roster. And I looked up how much he's earned, and he's earned in his very awful career $18 million.
Yeah, he's done all right for himself.
And he's like 26 first or whatever.
Pick for a quarterback.
Like, he got $11 million in his first season. Like, these people are not as bothered as you think.
He's probably paid out about $7 million just in moving costs.
All right, save the best one for last. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Gone.
I think he stays, yeah.
I hope he stays, because otherwise I think we end up with him and I don't want him back.
I hope he goes, because I think his confidence is shot. I think he knows he's not the bloke that
I don't know,
Shanahan like, wants.
Based on the fact that the 49ers weren't aggressive at all in getting Matt Stafford, like they didn't even put an offer in the end, I think there's a good chance that he stays.
But I thought you wanted Kirk Cousins.
No one ever wants Kirk Cousins.
Well, I thought Shanahan.
Shanahan's obviously worked with him a couple of times, but I just don't see that there's an upgrade there.
The only difference is he's fit. Like, Kirk Cousins doesn't miss games. But like, he's got a huge contract.
No, he just misses passes.
I wondered where you were going with that for a second, Jim. Happy contract, what?
Like, he's got a huge
contract. For that type of quarterback, that's too much money.
By that type of quarterback, do you mean shit?
Yes. Well, bang average.
If you get rid of Jimmy, that, you know, it's not like it's a hit on the on the cap, really, because Jimmy's on $25 million.
We've got this year and next year. We've got an opportunity to get rid of Jimmy, haven't we?
Oh, you can get rid of Jimmy for nothing, really.
Yeah, more or less. $2 million, a couple of million.
You just cut, you know, but just, you know, if you keep him, he's on $25 million to play. Probably play about six games, and then hobble.
Yeah.
Who is it? Josh McCown. I was just randomly looking crap up the other day. Josh McCown's earned $54 million.
Yeah,
he's earned most of his money since he retired first time.
$500,000 per touchdown. And did you know his daughter is 21? Worth a look up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't really know where you go with that. What's he, 40? Josh McCown's 40. Like, so,
yeah, Brady's older.
Yeah. Don't look up Tom Brady's daughter because she's 7. I'm just saying. just thought I'd point that out for you before you go looking up.
I can see the look on John's face. He's definitely Googled it already.
He's doing it already,
Do you remember when Josh McCown, it was a big thing, should the Bears sign Josh McCown or Jay Cutler a few years back? And it's just, it was crazy. McCown got paid loads of money, basically, for four good games with the Bears when Cutler was out. And that's when he started making money. And then John rightly points out, he retired the first time, came back, and basically signed a ridiculous contract for 2 years.
It's going to be a bit of a tangent, but it's very rare that Jay Cutler comes up. But I was on my Facebook the other day, and I keep getting, because remember we did last year, I did the thing about Cameo, and we did high and low. I keep getting adverts now for Cameo on my Facebook, and I saw this and I thought, wow, Jay Cutler's got buff. That is a guy called Jay Cutler who is offering things on Cameo. Apparently, not that Jay Cutler. I did have to look it up though, just in case he has got really buff. It's not him.
I don't know where to go with that. Now I've seen Jay Cutler in a posing pouch.
So if you listen to this on iTunes or whatever it is, go to the YouTube channel. And you'll see a very very buff man. Anyway, back to you, Jim.
That was all I had. I mean, there are obviously more players that are out of contract, but they really are dredging at the moment. So, unless you want to talk about Virgil Green.
It felt like a comprehensive list, Jim, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mike Iupati, Joe Looney.
Yeah, you can stop. You can stop.
Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy is a free agent. Gone, yeah. And I've not even got to the bottom. Jesus Christ, that's a long list. CJ Beathard, hopefully he's gone.
I refuse to acknowledge that Colt McCoy would be at the top of anything.
I refuse to acknowledge you don't want to be able to talk about CJ Beathard. Why would you not want that?
The fact that for one game this season we can't call you the Beathard boys is really going to upset me.
Byron Pringle, he had a bit of a role in the Super Bowl. Returning kicks, he wasn't not too bad. But yeah, I mean, now we are dredging.
Yeah, you're in a bit of a rabbit hole here, Jim. Someone should fish you out pretty quick, John.
Tell us more, Jim. Tell us more.
Chad Beebe of the Minnesota Vikings.
He's making names up now.
No, he caught that pass after fucking one up. That's the only thing I remember him for.
Yeah. And at that point, shall we call it a day?
Oh, JC Jackson.
Oh, I like him. He's good on Twitter.
He will stay.
Jim, if you remember, we record this for people to listen to. It's not like a monologue.
But yeah, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining us this season. We'll be back soon to discuss the draft. But until then, we're going to have some time off because we fucking deserve it. We've got nothing to do, but it'd just be nice to have not do this on a Tuesday for a couple of weeks.
Speak for yourself.
We'll be back for the draft.
You'll be back.
See you next week.
We can have a Zoom chat. It'd just be nice not to have a record one. But yeah, we'll come back for the draft. But until then, thank you, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Ooh, Alan Lazard. Missed that one.